Nobody brings Philadelphia fans closer together than the Green Legion. From tailgates in South Philly to invading enemy territory, this group is the home to the true Philadelphia sports fan. Now their party hits the airwaves. Quimby, Michael Diaz, Chris Sack, Slash, and Super Sam Ross always keep the conversation going. So crack a beer, take a shot, and join the virtual tailgate now on Green Legion Radio.
And welcome to another off-season edition of Green Legion Radio. I'm your host this evening, Chris Sack, sitting alongside, well, not sitting alongside, but in this virtual room that we are partaking in for this weekend show from 1 to 3 here on Saturday on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. Sitting alongside in the virtual world, our producer this evening, Kyle Slash the Gobbler, not a maker.
I gotta Slash. Fill in and do it myself now. What's going on, lady and gent? This is our safe space. We have a safe space. It's 2022. Come on.
Yeah, we're definitely gonna have to vent on some things this evening. I know I will. Phillies related, as we know. You know, hey, as of this recording on Thursday evening, you know, the Phillies haven't played their seventh game of the season yet, but I'm already perturbed by quite a few things that I've already seen.
Yes, the season's over, according to Sackmaster.
No, it's not over. It's just I'm annoyed by certain things. I also, eventually at some point during the course of the show, I want to touch on this Clayton Kershaw issue.
Oh, my God.
I want to see what your thought process is on it. I think there's way too many people that are whining, complaining, bitching, moaning about it. But we'll dive into that later on for sure. Also in our virtual room is our intern, although albeit paid intern.
Well, it doesn't matter. You could go with either one.
Sam Brady.
Yep. And there it is. That famous nickname that I will hate to hate for a long time to come.
Which one do you hate more, the nickname or the photo that we had photoshopped of you carrying Tom Terrific off the boat after the Tampa Bay parade?
That is a fantastic question because I'm torn because I look good in the picture, but I hate that I'm next to Tom Brady in it. The nickname, a little piece of me dies every time you guys say it. So I'm going to say
there's not much left of you left then.
Right. we're looking at possibly we might be getting Quimby back next week. I'm not sure if we're going to be expecting him to do a broadcast next Thursday. If we are even doing one, I don't know what the union schedule looks like next Saturday. Slash might have to pull that up. And we're also missing Diaz this evening too. Listen, I don't like kicking a man while he's down, but it's a good thing we don't have him here tonight to talk about Glenn Rivers or Doc Rivers or however, because if you look at this run sheet that Diaz has, it's pretty much trash Doc Rivers and, you know, die on that hill. And so he provided the run sheet to us earlier. I'm going to go off of what he wanted us to talk about.
I got some opinions of him as well.
So. Which is okay. Listen, it's all right. We all have our opinions and we're going to dive into that. But most importantly, tonight's show, we want it to be about you, the listeners. So hop on in on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, Green Legion. You can go ahead and you can get in on the social media board. Right now we have Mike English and Keenan Harmon right in the room as well. Some people tend to jump in and out, but hey, you guys want to take part in the show. You guys have opinions. We're going to talk about them as well. But Green Legion Radio is brought to you by Bud Light and Bud Light Seltzer, Michelob Ultra, Stateside Vodka and Bourbon, Diaz, Dave Bavuso State Farm, Greater Philadelphia Health Action, and MCS Residential and Custom Cabinetry. So, guys, just real quick before we dive into talking about some sports here, we have Green Legion news and events here. Early birds for all 2022 trips. Make sure you guys get signed up for that. $150, fully refundable. You can, if you have it on a trip and it doesn't work for you in your time frame or your schedule, you can move it to another trip. But what it does is it gets you to the front of the line for everything as far as being, you know, priority for the packages, flying out, all that good stuff. Make sure you guys get on to greenlegion.com, sign up for early birds for such trips that, you know, that we're going to be running this year. Arizona, Chicago, Houston, Indianapolis, Detroit, Dallas, and seeing the commodes in Washington, D.C. at FedEx Field, an absolute disaster of a stadium and a franchise. Unbelievable. As you guys can hear, my dog is barking right now because pizza has arrived at the Sack household. So she's flipping out on that end of things. But nonetheless, we carry on. Green Legion invasion of the week is Houston. Houston, for me, is not at the top of the bucket list as far as going to a football stadium is concerned. Albeit, if baseball didn't start a week later, I would have been at Houston to see the Phillies play. I always thought Minute Maid Park looked like a pretty cool baseball stadium to go to. I like the train tracks out in left field. They used to have the hill up in center field that Lance Berkman made that famous catch. I always wanted to do that, always wanted to be there to check that out. But the stadium, apparently the turf in Houston Stadium is not good. I think D'Amico Ryans tore his Achilles two different times on that turf, but in like the very same spot, one with the Eagles and one when he played with the Texans. And then, you know, there's been various injuries that have occurred there as well throughout the years. But, you know, Houston would be a great city to go to. A lot of fun. Make sure you guys sign up for that. For me, my personal option that my wife and I are hoping to get to is Chicago. I don't really care much for Soldier Field, but the city of Chicago is beautiful. It's my favorite city in the whole entire country. You know, it's very rare that you can walk off the beach and walk right into, you know, a huge gigantic building that takes you up 96 floors to the Signature Lounge in the Hancock Building and grab some beers. It's a lot of fun. It's a great city. Slash, have you ever been to Chicago before?
No, I think we were talking about this a couple weeks ago. It's probably my number one city I want to visit.
Number one?
Yes.
Number one?
I got to see Wrigley and just all the things I've heard about how chill of a city it is. I want to see it. Deep dish? I don't know, but I got to try it in Chicago at least.
Giordano's yeah, for sure. Sam, you look like you have the look of someone that is not a fan of deep dish pizza.
I'm not a fan of deep dish pizza, especially in Chicago.
Why am I not surprised by this?
I've been to Chicago. I like Chicago. I was there in March, so it was like kind of cold and rainy. So I'd like to go back and give it another shot. But the pizza, I could go without.
The sad part is with football season, you're looking at hoping that it's in September, but it's not going to be nice enough for you to really fully enjoy. Like, if you're going to go to Chicago, you have to go to Chicago in the summertime. And listen, I want everybody to go on this trip to Chicago. It is a fantastic city. It is awesome. But you want it to be, especially football season, you want Chicago to be September, October, maybe early November. But if you're going there like Thanksgiving time, December, it's going to be a little bit rough with the weather there, especially particularly being right off of Lake Michigan.
Yeah, if it's a family vacation, I see where you're coming from. But a Green Legion trip, you know, you're going to have that alcohol to keep you warm the entire time.
The trips that Quimby has ran out there for the Phillies in the summertime, insane. It's just absolutely nuts, you know, the bedlam that occurs. Because you have options everywhere in the city to go to. So, you know, Chicago's at the top of my list. But also make sure to get yourself signed up for the Philadelphia All-Star Craft Beer, Wine, and Cocktail Festival on May 14th at Citizens Bank Park. I believe they're sold out for the daytime, but they still have availability for the nighttime session. So make sure you guys sign up for that. Voted top five beer festivals nationally by USA Today. Over 200 breweries, wineries, and distilleries. Free pizza necklace station, dozens of local clothing and snack vendors, multiple performers, opportunity to walk the warning track. I believe you can also go around the bases from a couple years ago. The last time I did it, I think it was in 2019. Green Legion Radio will be broadcasting live, whether that's during the day session or the night session. I have tickets to the night session, so I hope we're going to be there during the day session. That way I can get crocked from 7 to 11 on Saturday evening. No kids. Let's enjoy ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. And like I said, session one is sold out. Session two is still available at upcomingevents.com. And Diaz has on here, I don't know if you guys read the run sheet, but we need an update on the Chris Sack situation, the Sack-tuation. Have I seen Goodfellas yet? No, I haven't. So, you know,
you got to watch it.
Yeah, I think that was the part where when we were doing Bud Light Baseball Brunch on opening day, where Quimby started texting me to say, get control of the show, get control of the show, reel it back in. You know, Diaz is sitting there yelling. And I'm like, dude, come on, man. Like, we're having a great show. We're having a lot of fun. You know, but
he was just hiding his displeasure from you not watching Goodfellas. That's all it was.
No. Quimby would be upset with me if I never saw an episode of Family Guy.
Or Big Bang Theory.
I don't know. Yeah. There was a lot South of Park. Booing. There was a lot of booing.
There was booing
there
going
was.
On?
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
Was that when I was talking about how, you know, I preferred to watch Titanic?
Yeah, and, you know, got a lot of crap that day.
Yeah. But hey, it's enjoyable. I like riding the wave. You know, if entertainment has to come at my expense, I've got no problem with that.
Pun intended.
But yes, but I'd like to thank everybody for coming out to the Phillies opening day tailgate. We had a blast on Friday. A lot of fun. Just giving you guys a heads up that the first actual recording or live version on Sunday from 11 to noon will take place, not this upcoming Sunday, which is Easter Sunday. We will be on probably from the new studios for 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, because the Phillies are on Sunday Night Baseball. So we're going to have no need being at Xfinity Live that day. But we will be in the new studios on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler from 11 to noon on Sunday, April 24th. Sam, Murph, and myself will be recording on Saturday via StreamYard. So you guys can check us out and interact with Murph and myself on Saturday, which you guys will be hearing us from 1 to 3. But if you're in the room right now, you can interact with the show from 10 to 11 a.m. on Saturday, April 16th. And the recording of the show will be available via podcast after our recorded version is played from 11 to noon on Sunday, April 17th, which is Easter Sunday. So happy Easter to all of you out there ahead of time. But make sure you check us out from 10 to 11. Murph and I will be giving our fearless predictions, sure to go wrong, for the 2022 Major League Baseball season. So make sure you guys tune into the second segment, especially for that. See how we're going to screw our picks up this year. Even though last year I did beat Murph with the season predictions, Murph beat me with our weekly picks. We'll be bringing back that segment for you guys as well this week. So make sure you guys check that out. I think we're all baseball brunched out right now. So we're going to dive into baseball sometime in the second hour. So why don't we talk a little bit about football? Because guys, I don't know about you, but I'm excited. We're 2 weeks away right now from the NFL draft. And again, I hope we have a live show that night. It would be great to do.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see how things, you know, transpire. I'm sure Quimby's got some things in the work. But two more weeks. If you're listening to us from 1 to 3 on Saturday afternoon, less than 2 weeks to the NFL draft live from Las Vegas. Like, how cool is that? The NFL draft is going to be in Las Vegas. And then they're going to follow up that with next year's clunker in Detroit.
What a way to flip things around. Jeez.
Get everybody trashed in you know, Las Vegas, and the following year, everybody, let's just, all right, we're going to take it down a notch. We're going to go to Detroit. We're going to take care of it that way. So guys, Diaz has on here, calm before the storm. How do you guys approach these last 2 weeks, mock drafts, risers and fallers? Do you listen to the experts? Slash, just asking you on your end, like, do you have a particular mock drafter that you follow, somebody that you look to? You know, I fully trust that this guy really honestly believes what the Eagles are going to do. Or do you kind of have your own mind made up of who you're looking for? Who do you want the Birds to draft with 15 and 18? You know, I think we kind of dove in a little bit about this last week, but I think we all kind of know what positions we're leaning towards. But is there anybody in particular, like a Mel Kiper or a Todd McShay, a Daniel Jeremiah that you look at and say, hey, that's the sage right there. That's somebody that I have to follow and make sure that, you know, I know what they think that the Eagles are going to take in the first round.
To keep it short, no. I mean, by this time, the Mel Kipers and the Jeremiahs that you mentioned, they're all in like their eighth mock draft. I mean, they start these mock drafts in like, you know,
I think as soon as the regular season's up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think that, well, they 1.0
even after the regular season.
Yeah. 1.0 is normally after the regular season. They kind of just slot in the teams, the playoff teams, based off of their records. And then, you know, if, hey, the guy with the best record wins the Super Bowl, they're number 32. And then they kind of, as the playoffs go, they kind of, you know,
yeah.
All right, let's redo it. What do they need? What do they want? But yeah, I hear you. You know, like eight different kind of mock drafts.
I keep it local, if anything. Listen to, you know, our guys on NBC Sports Philadelphia, Barrett Brooks, friend of the program, those guys, because they're, you know, obviously focusing on the Birds. They're not trying to cover, you know, seven rounds of for 32 teams for 3 months. So Russ Taylor, the Eagles are selecting a kicker with their first pick and a punter with their second pick. That's not much worse than picking Jalen Reagor in the first round.
I mean, Jake Elliott is way more productive than you know, Jalen Reagor ever has been. So, you know, but I'm sorry, Russ, I think that's great. But, you know, Jake Elliott, I think, still has 3 to 4 years left on his deal.
Yeah, exactly. And,
you know, but the punter should be somewhere along the line. I don't think – I know we had him on last season, which was a big draw for 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. But I think he got the opposite of a Green Legion bump last season. I think he fell by the wayside after that.
I don't look too much like the John Jansons, you know, looking at like, you know, they got to get this wide receiver from so-and-so in the fourth round, fifth round. I just look at the position of need that they need, especially in the first round. I saw a question on NBC Sports, you know, are you more focused on D tackle or D end? I think they got to address D end more so. Otherwise, if you're going to take a D tackle in the first round, why'd you bring Fletcher Cox back? So just more of that narrative rather than really diving into who they're going to get, because again, Howie Roseman is a wild card. So whatever you chalk up, he's probably going to do the opposite.
Just going off,
which
the
is
message
not a
board,
good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Just going off the message board real quick. And if we go back to our saturation rule real fast about seeing Goodfellas, Russ said that there's a tool that sits next to him at work that has never seen Wedding Crashers, American Pie, or Road Trip. I can definitely say I've seen all three of them. I've seen American Pie a million times. I'm looking forward to Wedding Crashers too. And Susan Banks Nunnemaker, I don't know who she could have mothered during the course of her life. Schedule should be coming out soon. They're saying May 10th. I miss the days where they used to bring it out before the NFL draft. It was a lot more fun that way when you could kind of like line up and be like, hey, I'm going to face this guy for the first time when they do draft them. Unhappy Gilmore, stop deflecting sack. No, I never. Listen, deflecting sack can hurt. You know, if you've ever had anything deflect off your sack, it really does hurt. I mean, that's you know, like one of those kind of like ball taps that doesn't really exactly hit you flush, but it kind of gets you right underneath. Yeah, that stings. But Sam, do you follow anybody as far as like the mock drafts are concerned? Like,
No, because I've noticed that in the last couple of years, everything you think is going to happen, especially with the Eagles, the exact opposite happens.
Yeah.
So there's no point in projecting what you want
to
happen.
To fantasize and say like, well, if they have this guy, you know, they might bump up from, but it's just not going to happen.
I think
go off of your the schedule release, I'm glad it's not coming out till May, because that's a month that we can save ourselves from everybody going game by game. So I think they're going to be 9-8. Yeah, I'll just put it down. 9-8.
Unbelievable. It's one of the things. And this is the crux of sports talk radio in Philadelphia has really killed my soul in particular the last couple of days. But I'm going to save that second hour, because not only do we have to sit here and listen to everybody debate on the quarterback situation, even though we all knew Jalen Hurts was going to be our quarterback next year, regardless. You know, but there's so many things about sports talk radio in this city that has died by the wayside, and they don't do what we do. Yeah. Which is actually talk about the real topics at hand. But I'm looking at it from this context. Why don't we save more draft talk on the other side when we get into the second segment here? Because I have to talk about Greater Philadelphia Health Action, providing medical, dental, behavioral health, pharmacy, and child development services for over 50 years. Full family care for the entire family. Prenatal, pediatrics, adults, specialty services, and more. COVID-19 vaccine and testing available. 11 locations throughout Philadelphia. Over 85,000 patients. Telehealth and on-site appointments available. Schedule an appointment today. 1-888-296-GPHA. Website for more information on services and a complete listing of locations. www.gphainc.org. On the other side, in the second segment, we're going to talk a little bit more about the NFL draft and the Eagles. Update it. You know, what they have as far as picks are concerned throughout the course of the 2022 NFL draft, live from Las Vegas in less than 2 weeks. If you're listening to us on Saturday from 1 to 3 on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to our second segment here on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. Thank you guys for joining us here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler for an off-season edition of Green Legion Radio. I am Chris Sack, sitting alongside in the virtual world, Kyle Slash, the Goblin Undermaker, and Super Sam Brady, as we take you through more sports talk here this Saturday afternoon. And thank you guys again for joining us. Like we said, if you guys are in the room with us on Thursday night here in our StreamYard studio, you know, you guys got anything funny on here you guys want to put out there, you know, chime in. We're going to get you guys involved. I think that's going to be something big, especially like once we're all back in studio together. Maybe next Thursday when Quimby returns from the Cayman Islands for the first time in 3 months. I don't know what we have to do to make sure his passport can't get through customs, so that way they can send him back there for a little while. But, you know, we'll see how things go. And special shout out to Diaz. Missing you tonight. I'm not saying that tongue in cheek. We are missing you for recording. Would have been a lot of fun having you, but we understand why you are not here. So looking back through here, before we jump a little bit more into the NFL draft, Mike Davis here. Here's a funny tidbit. Fletch smoking a blunt last weekend, waiting for the limo to pick them up. That's always fun. I think LaMelo Ball was smoking a blunt before his the play-in game.
The play-in game, yeah. I didn't know any of this. I'm not up to date on my pot-smoking athletes, so you know, that's good work by Mike Davis.
Yeah, well, I think – didn't Chris Long say that they test you in February or March? And it's only one time that they test you for. They don't do any – like, they don't test you throughout the regular season. I think he said that a couple years ago.
No, he said there was like a couple, there'll be a couple randoms depending on who, but
I think it's your previous history.
You know it's coming.
Yeah, if you're Josh Gordon and you tested positive for it in the offseason, then you're subject to randoms throughout the course of the season. Yeah,
he's getting tested before he gets out of bed every morning.
Well, I mean, hey, you got to do what you got to do. Yeah. And hey, I know like during our break, we were talking, Sam, did you look up to see what they're doing as far as that's concerned?
I did. April 28th to the 30th, it'll be red carpet stage right outside the fountains at the Bellagio.
The Bellagio. Oh, yeah. So what the plan was a couple years ago, and again, I think that they were supposed to have it in Las Vegas the year of the pandemic, but obviously, you know, everything, you know, hit the fan. So if what they were going to do was they were going to have them set up in a specific area, and then they were going to boat them over to the stage, to the main stage. So if they're doing that this year, awesome. I can't wait to see it. It's great television nonetheless. Who knows what's going to happen about 2 hours or an hour before the draft even begins. Last year, remember, all the stuff came out about Aaron Rodgers about an hour, hour and a half before the draft. Maybe this year we get a Kyler Murray nugget, something like that, that comes out. So
I want to see another Laramie Tunsil nugget. You know,
well, dude, that was awesome. Yeah, man. Yeah, with the gas mask. Yeah, that was
talk
cool.
Talk about blunts and marijuana. But real quick, just before we dive back, like, please. This is what I'm talking about. Like, just Googling NFL Draft 2022 because I was trying to look up where it was. NFL.com, 2022 NFL Mock Draft with a twist. What every team should do. It's like... it's just a fantasy at that point. I think the Eagles are going to, you know, trade their whole franchise to get up into the, you know, first 10 picks. That's what they should do.
So, you know, how I just said Slash that, you know, we missed Diaz, and obviously, you know, we have a special place in our hearts for Diaz because obviously we have to deal with him more than anybody else outside of his wife and their daughter. God bless their souls. But, you know, Bryant Walden, Sack, you a traitor. You can't miss Diaz. Keenan Harmon, where's Diaz getting his forehead waxed?
Yes. Does he need to?
It's brutal in this room here. But as long as you guys keep the alacrity coming, we'll keep on talking about what you guys are talking about in the room. As far as the upgraded Eagles draft picks here, 10 total. So now they have two in the first instead of three. They have 15 and 18. They have one in the second, which is 51. Two in the third, 83 and 101. One in the fourth, 124, and then three in the fifth, 154, 162, and 166, and then one in the seventh, my all-important 237th pick in the NFL draft. Right now, the wide receiver, Chris Olave from Ohio State, was visiting the Eagles on Thursday. Alabama wide receiver Jameson Williams visited earlier this week. It's not looking like Jameson Williams is going to make it out of the top 10, according to what Mel Kiper was saying.
How about Olave?
We'll see about him. From where Mel Kiper just positioned him on his big board, he's around 15, 16. So if you're going to get him, but remember, just because you're 15 or 16 on the big board doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to go in that realm. You could be on the big board and you could fall back into the 20s, depending on what people are prioritizing, in particular quarterbacks, which are normally always overvalued.
We really thinking this 3 years in a row?
Yeah, well, I mean, so why don't you, Flash, why don't you tell me here? So you're 15 and 18. You're Howie Roseman. Are you going best available player or position of need?
Oh, I'm going best available player. I mean, this team is not a team that is a contender. They're kind of in a, like I always say, a purgatory mode where they still have a lot of holes to fill. One of them being, we were just talking before the show, secondary. If you have a best available player that's a cornerback, you better jump on that because that could be a disaster heading into the season. They're obviously going to do something. They're not going to go in with, you know, Zach McPherson being their cornerback number two. If they do, then I've just given up on the season week one. But definitely best available player because of they aren't looking for just one or two needs. They need a decent amount.
Sam, what are you looking for in the first round of the NFL draft? What are you and Biggie Smalls, your replica back there, thinking?
Yeah.
Listen, leave Biggie out of this. No, I was ducking from lightning outside my window right now. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of holes on defense that need to be addressed at this point. So I would go, I'd go probably defensive side of things. But
well, Sam, let me just add on to that too. I mean, name a position group on defense that's solidified. There is none.
There is none.
So you need at least one from each position group on defense, but go ahead.
That's what I'd probably focus defense first. Where on defense, I'm not sure, but best available is a great way of drafting. I agree with that wholeheartedly, except we don't need the best available quarterback right now. We don't need the best available. Wide receiver, right? We need best available defensive. This is going to be a tough one. I'm torn six ways here.
Well, Mike Davis says, I want wide receiver help for Hurts to see if he's actually the guy. I disagree with that because I'm not wasting first round draft picks to support a guy that might not be the quarterback here in 2 years.
Yeah, but he is correct, though, with this assessment, though. Okay, because if you do get one of those top notch wide receivers, it's going to look a lot more alluring and appealing for a quarterback like a Kyler Murray. And I'm not a big Kyler Murray fan. I'm just using his name as an example. If he wants out of Arizona after next season, and I say this all the time, it's sex appeal. Okay. He's going to want to look at this team and look at this roster. And he's gonna be like, that's a great offensive line that they have there. Whether Jason Kelce is back next season or not. And I'm talking about the 2023 season, not this upcoming season, because we already know Jason Kelce will be back. But that's a great offensive line. You know, I have Devontae Smith. I have, you know, whatever. You know, you want Olave, you want Jameson Williams, whatever you want, okay? And then I have Dallas Goedert, which is, you know, fringe top five tight end in the game. It makes the roster stand out a little bit more. I don't know if he's going to want to come here if he's sitting there going, oh, well, they have Quez Watkins and, you know, Jalen Reagor's still on the roster. And, you know, oh, man, I really want to play with J-Jaw. Like, no, man, I think the more you have, the more sex appeal that you have to the roster, the more likelihood that one of these quarterbacks, if Jalen Hurts is not the guy, is going to want to come here and play here.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of being a little biased because I already – don't think Jalen Hurts is the guy. So I want to go out there. I want to draft the guard. I think they're eventually going to need a running back because you don't know what Miles Sanders' future is. Right. I want to solidify that and kind of get that kind of help for when the guy that we do think is the guy comes in here and we have that foundation around him. And then what's the word I'm looking for? Skill positions, you know, they can come. You can get that in free agency. But I think a matter of now your offensive line is old, especially at the guard position. Kelsey, it might only be here for one more year. If there's a top-notch guard that's up there and he's the best available, I'm going that than reaching for best receiver.
See, I look at it like this. I've been saying this for years with this team, especially the last few years. They need playmakers, whether it's wide receiver, whether it's corner, whether it's safety.
I don't knock that, yeah.
Yeah, a guy on the defensive line. I need somebody that's going to swing the momentum of a game, especially on the defensive side of the football. A safety, a cornerback. Like, it's too often where we're getting them two fourth down and they're punting the football. What is so hard about getting a team to turn the ball over to where you have the ability to get short fields to where you're not relying on Jalen Hurts and an offense that last year we saw them shine running the football? They don't have to drive 75, 80, 90 yards to score a touchdown. Like, if you have the ability to get to the quarterback and force a fumble, get the ball out of his hands quick and fast, and you have a guy that can jump a route, you know, for a cornerback or a safety that just has a nose for the football. If we had those type of guys on the team, and a lot of times playmakers isn't just about running back and wide receiver. It's about having the ability to get the ball back for your offense in a better position than just, oh, well, hey, here's fourth down, punt the football. We need guys like that. And, you know, maybe even a wide receiver. I'm looking in that fourth, fifth round. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I'm looking for that's what I'm thinking. I think they do draft one. I just don't think they go for one in the first round. At least I don't think they should go for one in the first round. Yeah. But hey, screw it. If you want to go for a wide receiver in the first round and your defense blows next year and you want to watch Jalen Hurts play come from behind football, by all means. I don't think it's going to be a pretty sight, but by all means, go for it.
Yeah, that's the one aspect of Jalen's game that I can't trust right now is the come from behind game. Sam, did you have something?
No, I was going to say first three rounds. I was just agreeing with Slash. You're right. Let's not touch that in the first three rounds. If you want to draft something,
maybe third. I'd say maybe third. But I mean, the last three seasons, you've gone first two rounds taking a wide receiver. I mean, it's ridiculous at that point.
I've got no issue with if you think that. I just don't want somebody else. Like I really like Devontae Smith. I think he has potential to be a great wide receiver. He had a really good rookie year. You know, for everything that was going against the Eagles offense last year, in particular, the fact that they had become a running offense. I think having another wide receiver too will open him up a little bit more on the other side. But I don't want another small wide receiver. I don't want another
need that possession.
Yeah, I need a 6'5" dude that can just go up and get the ball. Like a lot of times the best friend for a quarterback is just having the ability to throw it within a catch radius for a wide receiver. Being able to just, hey, I'm going to throw it up. I've got a 6'5" guy up against a 5'9", 5'10" corner. And I'm going to give you the ability to go up and get that ball and bring it down.
Well, look what Alshon did in the Super Bowl in the first half. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah, before they put Stephon Gilmore on him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
And, Eric Rowe!
Yeah, but I'm seeing, you know, Adam Unhappy Gilmore over here. That's London Drake out of USC. You know,
the poll.
Yeah, so
I don't know if I trust USC wide receivers, but
yeah. Well, hey, listen, say what you will about Nelson Aguilar, but that guy had one great year. He picked the actual one year where we needed him to be great.
Yeah,
caught nine balls in the Super Bowl, and I'm not one. You guys know me. I don't like harking back, you know, in time and going, oh well, you know, Howie Roseman's trying to get fired because he won us the Super Bowl, or Doug Peterson, why is he getting fired? He won us the Super Bowl. I don't like harking back on that stuff. For me, give me the next one.
I'm just comparing to what we had.
That's no, I get you.
And that build. I'm not saying we need to rebuild that that same concept.
Yeah.
But Brian Walton, I'm glad Steven Nelson is gone. Why? Why are you glad Steven Nelson's gone?
Well,
who's going to replace him?
He didn't do anything for me last year.
What didn't he do?
You can find another
season.
You can find another Steven Nelson in July, like they did last year. If you're not comfortable with who you got. So what if you draft Sauce Gardner at 15?
Sauce.
Or you trade up to get Sauce Gardner at 10 or 11.
Yeah.
You know, you get it. You get a guy like that and you bring him in here. You have Slay, Sauce Gardner, and Avante Maddox. That's a pretty darn good trio there at corner. Obviously,
I'm just looking at the now. They're like I said, they're obviously going to do something. They're not going to put Zach McPherson on the other side of Slay, but I'm just looking at hopefully they do have something in mind letting Steven Nelson go, because he 2 years, $10 million. I mean, that's not breaking the bank. So
I don't know how much more inclined they are as far as getting a pass rusher in here is concerned too. I mean, you brought in Hassan Reddick for big money. Josh Sweat, you signed to an extension last year. You just signed Derek Barnett to a 2-year deal, which I'm still ticked off about. I don't understand. You want to call unhappy Gilmore. That's me right there with bringing him back. And then, you know, I didn't want to see Fletch come back. I was happy when they cut him. I want to see more Milton Williams in the middle of that line. I think if you're looking at them signing an edge rusher, and Brandon Graham's going to be back next year, we'll see how he performs coming off the torn Achilles.
Something tells me he's going to be washed. Someone his age coming off that, it could be the case. I don't have high hopes for him, but oh god, Derek Barnett 2 years.
I think they're more inclined to go defensive tackle than they are edge rusher.
You might be right. And if that's the case, then I don't know why the hell they re-signed Fletcher Cox then.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I don't like it to begin with. And if they do go DT in the first round, then that just solidifies my hatred for it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. I didn't need another Fletcher Cox because he's not that great of a neighbor. Unlike Dave Bavuso, State Farm, you deserve to get good service and great rates at State Farm. We get it. And we're here to help, because with every State Farm policy, you get good neighbor service and you get surprisingly great rates. So what are you waiting for? Get going and talk to local State Farm agent Dave Bavuso about your surprisingly great rates today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. When you want the real deal, call Dave Bavuso State Farm Agency, 856-740-5012. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. Coming up on the other side in our last segment of the first hour, we're going to finish up on our NFL draft talk, and we might dive a little bit into our second hour where we're going to talk 76ers playoff basketball as they're set to take on the Toronto Raptors in game one later on today, as in Saturday after our show from 1 to 3. They're going to take on tip off against the Toronto Raptors at 6 p.m. So make sure you guys tune in and check them out and support the Sixers this upcoming playoffs. Right here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, we are Green Legion Radio. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to our final segment here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler's Green Legion Radio, the offseason edition, as we wrap up our NFL talk here in the last segment of our first hour. And we're going to turn things over to the NBA, Major League Baseball, with both the 76ers and the Philadelphia Phillies in our second hour. And I kind of want to try a new segment for the last segment of the second hour, because it's kind of just, and this is, I guess you can call this in the radio biz, a bit of a teaser. You know, we used to do certain things, get it off your chest. But in light of a couple weeks ago with the Chris Rock, Will Smith situation, I want to say that our new segment, I don't know, it should be about who do we want to smack or who do we want to slap at this moment in time? What do you think, Sam? You like that?
I do.
I know you can pretty much say, so this gives you guys an hour to think about somebody or some, you know, general idea that you want to smack the crap out of. So we'll go over that, because I have somebody in mind. Actually, if I'm going to be general about this opinion, it's a full city and the people that run it. And I want to smack the living hell out of them. We'll get to the bottom of that.
We might be on the same page here.
I think so. Now, if we're both picking the same ones, make sure we have backups.
Yes. Oh, I got plenty.
All right. Yeah, well, there's quite a few. And I know Sam can smack Tom Brady anytime that she wants to. But, you know, start thinking about it. We got about an hour. And I want to see what you guys are saying. Who do you want to smack, you know, with anything? So, and I'm not saying, you know, everybody wants to smack, like, Trish Stratus's butt or something like that. Like, obviously I've been wanting to do that for 20 years.
Still today. Yes.
Still to this day for sure. But somebody that you want to smack
in another 20 years, who knows?
No doubt about it. She continues to rock it. But yeah, somebody that you want to smack the living taste out of their mouth just to try and wake them up, to get with reality here. So I know we're still talking NFL draft here, guys, but let's talk about some NFL news. Right now, it's looking like the Eagles are the favorites to land Tyrann Mathieu. You know, safety. He's been with a couple different teams right now. Was drafted by the Houston Texans. I don't think he was with another team. He went after he was done with the Texans. He went over to Kansas City. I think somebody was saying the other day he's been with a few teams. Those are the only two that I can remember.
No, he was on Arizona.
Was he with Arizona?
Yeah,
he was with Arizona too. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Maybe was he drafted by Arizona, and then he wound up with Houston?
Yeah, I think he did get drafted by Arizona.
Okay, yeah, maybe that Honey Badger. So what do we think as far as the prospects of bringing in the Honey Badger slash?
Yes, please do it.
Diverse talent. Yeah.
Yes. I love the guy. I mean, I think we were talking about this 2 weeks ago. I think he's one of the more underrated safeties in the league. Like, he's versatile. He makes an impact. He can be a leader on your defense. And the fact that he's been on three different teams baffles me. So by all means, go out and get him.
Sam.
I got nothing. I'm just catching up on the world of baseball. This is going to be my year to be able to have these conversations, and I'm not quite there yet.
What conversations?
Just general baseball conversations. You know how much I don't know.
Did I get you hooked on baseball?
I think that I'm starting to get. I watched every game so far. I've never done
really?
This is awesome. This is awesome.
I've never done that.
Look at that. You're losing your football knowledge because you're switching to baseball.
No. Let's not get crazy.
I look at the Honey Badger as somebody that is cut from the same cloth as a Malcolm Jenkins. Type of guy where you can play him at corner when you need it, when you need to. He's got the heart to take on tight ends. He'll come up in the box and add a different a different number of guys that you can have up there. He can play deep back in the defensive backfield.
Slot.
And that's one less guy that at some point in this draft, I'd like for them to take a young safety. But
yeah, definitely.
He's a playmaker. He is a playmaker. You draft a young safety to go along with him. Now I know they brought back Anthony Harris. They still have Kayvon Wallace, but excuse me, if you wind up bringing in a younger safety to learn those aspects of the side of the defensive football in the NFL from a Tyrann Mathieu, you know, bring him in here. He might only want a 1 year deal, which I'm completely fine with. If he plays well, he wants to, sign for a longer term deal during the season or after the season, I'm fine with. But the fact that a guy that was probably a top five free agent is still lingering out there and the Eagles are being rumored to, to be at the top of that pecking order right now, you have to bring him in. Him and Slay would just completely shut down one side of a field, which will force them to go to the other side for sure. Fox Sports the Gamblers, speaking of the safety situation, Fox Sports the Gamblers own Roddy McLeod signed with the Colts. So we lost him over the last week. Nothing but the best for Rodney and his family. They're always going to be a part of our community here in Philadelphia.
Did a lot for the community.
Absolutely. In 6 years that he was here, what a great dude, a great guy. All the best to him in Indianapolis for sure. Steven Nelson signed with the Texans. That's where he wound up going to. And then Derek Carr signed an extension, $121.5 million with the Las Vegas Raiders. I almost said Oakland Raiders. And Baker Mayfield says that he feels disrespected by what the Cleveland Browns did. I mean, would you say that he was disrespected, or do you think they just did exactly what was right for their franchise? Now, mind you,
Baker,
I wanted nothing to do with Deshaun Watson.
Baker,
nothing to do.
Baker, that's business, buddy. You've been in the league for how many years now? Four years, and you haven't gotten this team over the hump. I know you made it to the playoffs, won a playoff game once, but then you regressed again. Your stats don't show that you should be. That you don't have the room to say that you've been disrespected. The team's just trying to go with what they think is best for them. You got to take your feelings out of it and try and campaign yourself to make an attempt to start on another team. Because, again, your words need to be backed up by your play on the field. You ain't it.
Right. Now, let's take a look at the wide receivers here. Okay. So, Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams all got huge deals. The rumor is out there that Seattle might be willing to trade DK Metcalf, but at their price, if the right price does come along. One of the rumors around here is that people want DK Metcalf here. I wouldn't complain if DK Metcalf was brought here, but the thing is you're going to have to sign him to a huge money contract, and you're going to have to give up at least a first, maybe a second first to go along with, you know, or a first and multiple draft picks. Is this something that we're interested in, Sam?
I'd say no. I'd say it's too much that has to go along with it. I would say pass.
Yeah, if you have to give up more than one first rounder, I say no. But a package of a first and maybe a couple mid rounders, I think I would do it, because in the last segment we were talking about needing that 6'4", 6'5", possession receiver, and this guy's a freak and is exactly what we were describing in the past segment. So I would love to have him, but again, the question goes back to what is that price that Seattle's setting.
I think the franchise roster construction for the Eagles right now has put us at an impasse. You remember back in the day, 20 years ago, everybody wanted a wide receiver. Every year for Don McNabb, we want a wide receiver. And then finally, like after failing in the NFC Championship game three consecutive years in a row, they made that move and they made that trade for Terrell Owens. And it worked out. We got to the Super Bowl. We didn't win it, but we got there. And then, you know, you look at all these years where we're trying to find our franchise quarterback, and everybody's all in when you think that that is the final piece. I think a lot of us, if we thought Russell Wilson was the final piece to bring him in here to make a Super Bowl contenders, we would have made that deal. Same thing with DK Metcalf. We would make that deal in a heartbeat if we were a wide receiver away, if we truly believed that Jalen Hurts was the guy moving forward, and that's who we had in the building. The roster construction is a big reason why none of us – and, you know, I know none of us are huge fans of Howie Roseman. And, you know, I'm like, oh, man, he's going to screw the draft picks up anyway. But here we are wanting to hold on to these draft picks just for the simple fact that it's young, controllable talent that you can bring in here. And you have a shot. Like, if you use that first-round pick on the wide receivers that we were talking about earlier in this hour, if you use that first-round pick and he turns out to be a DK Metcalf or something close to a DK Metcalf, you get him for team control for 4 to 5 years. You know, 5 years if you exercise that option.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just add in before we go to break. I mean, yeah, we're all not huge fans of Howie Roseman, but you can't go into the draft, you know,
thinking that he's going to fail.
Yeah, you can't go in scared saying, well, you know, let's dish him off because he's going to mess it up anyway. No, you still got to have faith in what he's going to do, because he's got to hit something right. So, and, you know, you got to build that culture for a young team. I'm tired of, and it even goes back to the safety aspect, I'm tired of just plugging in holes. I want to get that Giggity. Talent that you get through the draft and have these guys grow together. So take it away.
Speaking of construction, MCS Residential and MCS Custom Cabinetry, for all your residential contracting needs, this is who you want to talk to. Everything from additions, renovations, kitchens, baths, closet organization, cabinetry, vanities, basements, everything you need. Mention the Green Legion and get 10% off of your order, regardless of how much. Reach out to them at www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. That is www.mcsinc-pa.com or call them at 484-202-3656. We're going to talk some 76ers basketball, and I know we don't have a resident expert on the 76ers, or apologist, as we all should call him, and Mike Diaz. We're going to talk some 76ers basketball, previewing their first-round matchup against the Toronto Raptors right here on the flip side on the second hour, right here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, Green Legion Radio, the off-season edition. We'll be right back right after this. Welcome back for our second hour here on Green Legion Radio, this beautiful Saturday afternoon here, spring Saturday afternoon, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. Thank you guys for joining us yet again. Having some fun here. We just got done talking about some football. Here in the second hour, we're going to talk 76ers basketball and Philadelphia Phillies baseball. Also, in our last segment, again, somebody or something that we want to smack, like Will Smith did to Chris Rock. So we'll have some fun with that towards the end of the show. Normally we do kick ass or jackass or get it off your chest. I'm adding in a new segment this week just for the simple fact that I want to smack the hell out of multiple people. But we'll see how things go once we get to the last segment of this hour. But I know Slash is a much bigger basketball, much bigger 76er fan than I am. But I'm going to go here real fast. I think we're all in agreement. And I'm not just saying this because, you know, I think I should say it. I'm saying it because I truly believe it. I honestly have no idea or have an understanding here about how Joel Embiid has done anything to lose the grip hold that he had on the MVP of the NBA over the last month or for the season, for that matter. This guy has done everything that he has been asked to do in order to win the most valuable player award this season in the NBA. And I agree with Kevin Durant to an extent with what he said the other day that, you know, Jokic had his MVP last year. It's a rare, special thing for somebody to go back to back winning an MVP award. And if you look at what Jokic did this year in relation to last year, yeah, his stuff is pretty similar, and he's done some special things this year. I'm not trying to take anything away. It's a shame that there's only one award to give out because, honestly, you could choose between Joel, Jokic, or the Greek Freak. And I'm not taking anything away from the other two. But Giannis has two MVP awards. Jokic won one last year. And there is nothing that says to me that they deserve it more than Embiid does for what he's had to deal with this year. The Ben Simmons saga, having to play 2 weeks after, you know, playing 2 weeks leading up to the All-Star break without James Harden, no Seth Curry, no Andre Drummond, still, you know, at that point, Ben Simmons is gone. You know, right here from what Adam Gilmore saying too, I mean, leading the league in scoring hasn't been done since Shaquille O'Neal did it. A center averaging well, that was 20 years ago, 22 years ago. How about a center averaging 30 points a game for the first time in 40 years since Moses Malone did it? I mean, the numbers are staggering what he did this season. And as much as people want to bash Doc Rivers, and we're going to get into him coming up in this segment, but say what you will, Doc Rivers, MVP Embiid has only really come to fruition over the last 2 years. Runner-up for the MVP last year, and this year he's going to do no worse than runner-up again, right? I mean, unbelievable the amount of talent that he has brought out of Joel Embiid. He's reached new heights over the last couple of years, and same could be said for Tyrese Maxey, even. Joel Embiid, to me, most valuable player for this season. Nothing against the other two, but Slash, your opinions.
Yeah, and what Durant said was to become a two-time MVP and even a back-to-back MVP, you got to do something greater than you did the year before. Jokic put up great numbers this year, has carried his team, but has pretty much stayed steady from what he did last year, and they have a middle-tier team in Denver who's I think, like a 5 seed. So you look at Joel Embiid, and yeah, I agree, Zach, what he went through this year with the whole Ben Simmons saga. Ben Simmons improved every aspect of his game this year.
Ben Simmons did?
Oh, I'm sorry, Joel Embiid, sorry. Yeah. Well, he can't get it much worse at the free throw line than he was last year, so.
I saw the thing the other day about that woman that glued herself to the court during the playing game.
Yeah. She had more court time than
Ben Simmons this year.
But I mean, for Joel Embiid to be a runner-up last year, what does he do? He plays 17 more games this year than he played last year. He gets the scoring title by averaging over 30 points a game. It increases his rebounds by, you know, a rebound a game. And overall, his numbers have gone up. So he's done what he's needed to overtake that MVP status from Jokic, who is for some reason the clear front runner right now. And, you know, people say Embiid's MVP ticket may have decreased when they got James Harden. James Harden has not been very good for the Sixers, especially scoring. Yes, he's put together, you know, playmaking ability, 15 assists, but his shooting's been terrible. So Embiid's had to keep up that integrity and that shooting ability, even with James Harden on the court with him. So I don't know where it flipped to where Embiid was the favorite to now Jokic being minus 350 or whatever it is, but
that's insane.
Embiid deserves it more. Come on now.
Sam, am I wasting my time coming to you for an opinion, or are you just going to nod your head and say, you know, why don't you just say I'm Mike Diaz MVP?
That would have been a good one if I would have came up with it on my own. Yeah, this is, I told you I can only focus on one sport. It's football. This year I decided I was going to learn about baseball. So basketball is out for me.
I commend you for this, Sam. I am so proud of you.
I can't be part of baseball brunch if I don't know anything about baseball.
It's all good.
By the way, we've all improved this year watching basketball by not seeing Ben Simmons on the court. So, and not even being in Philadelphia. So thank you for that, Ben Simmons.
Only in Philadelphia. And speaking of only in Philadelphia, let's talk a little bit of Doc Rivers, because I would be remiss if I didn't follow Diaz's run sheet that he worked hard on today to a certain point. So I'm just going to read this. I'm not allowed to say the P word, am I? Are you reading the run sheet there, Slash?
No.
All right. So
if I know what the P word is, then no.
All right, so Rick.
Yes, yes.
Can I say that?
Rick? No, no.
Okay. Oh, all right. I'm just making rhymes with Rick.
No, you cannot.
All right, so this is what Diaz has on here at verbatim. Okay, Doc Rivers farewell tour. Plays Paul Reed. Paul Reed plays well. Turns into a condescending Rick James. Post game, when reporter asks why he didn't give Paul Reed earlier looks, cutting out the BS, his answer is basically, we match up what opponent presents. He is a dinosaur. Refusal to play young players hinders potential long-term development for short-term potential gains, which I think it should be gains, short-term gains, right?
Yeah.
Doc got bailed out versus refs earlier. Got bailed out versus refs in Indiana. Almost lost 27 point lead. Only coach in history. I think he brings this up every show. Only coach in history to lose three series when holding a 3-1 lead.
Yeah, I don't think he ever deletes that from when he's adjusting the run sheet. So.
It's kind of like Quimby's run sheet where you know, where it's the player that was like 3 months ago.
Yeah. For 3 months, it says we'll be live from Vegas next week.
Let's welcome in Alex Singleton. No, it's Jack Driscoll. Yeah.
Jesus.
You guys do the run sheet. You guys do the run sheet. 1-7 in playoff series with a lead in the last 8 years. Listen, this is what I'm going to say about Doc. And I was talking to a buddy of mine at work. I've known him for 20 years. I'm loving him to death. He's a bigger basketball fan than I am. Follows the Sixers, whatever. Good stuff for you guys. My hockey team sucks, and I do support the Sixers. I say it all the time. For me, the Sixers winning the NBA title doesn't mean as much to me as it does when the other three win it. I don't feel obligated to where I have to buy the shirts and the hats and go to the parade. I don't feel obligated to that because I know where my heart is during most of basketball season. Most of basketball season, my heart is with my terrible hockey team. So, you know, it's just how I was raised. That's how I've grown up, is to appreciate hockey more than basketball. I will say this about Doc Rivers, though. Okay. I don't give a damn how he talks to the media, which in relation is how he talks to us, the fans. I don't care. You want to know why I don't care? Because if he gives us the best chance to win, then I'm going to follow his lead. He's won an NBA title. He's been to another, albeit he had the big three. Say what you will about blown 3-1 leads, but you actually have the talent to build up those 3-1 leads and to carry teams to the playoffs. I don't care. If he succeeds in the playoffs, and they win an NBA title, or they at least get to a conference final for the first time in 21 years, I do not care how he talks to us. I don't care. Because I look at it like this. Bill Belichick has been talking down to the New England media and the New England fan base for over 22 years. He's got 6 Super Bowls. He's been to 10. I do not care. I'm sure they don't care either how he talks to them, both the media and the fan base alike. If you look at San Antonio, Greg Popovich is one of the most condescending Rick James that there actually possibly has been in NBA. Would you ask Pop that question? Probably not. But if you look at Greg Popovich has won 5 NBA titles. There is not one person in San Antonio going, oh, God. Oh, my God. He talked to this guy so wrong. Oh, my God. During that first quarter interview, he was talking down to the person that was interviewing him. Nobody cares. The only person that cares about it, obviously, is Diaz. I do not care. If we get to an Eastern Conference final for the first time in 21 years and only for the second time since 1985, as much as we want to sit here and loud the Sixers, they have not sniffed a friggin' Eastern Conference finals in that long. And when I say sniff, I mean actually being there. They lost in Game 7 last year. They lost in Game 7 a few years ago to the Raptors. What's your thought on this, Slash? Because I don't really buy into the whole he owes the city an apology for how he talked to us last summer about the Ben Simmons situation. He owes us an apology for how he talked down to us after game 82 and talking about B-ball Paul and his victory tour. Who cares? Who cares? Let's go out there and win in the playoffs. Let's get to the Eastern Conference Finals and see where it goes from there.
I couldn't disagree with you more.
Oh.
I couldn't. Yeah, he won a championship 14 years ago with 3.5, maybe 4 Hall of Famers.
Now, do not give me Rondo. Do not give me Rondo. Rondo,
okay, fine. Sorry, 3 Hall of Famers.
If Rondo goes into the Hall of Fame, that is the biggest sham in NBA history.
Okay, 3 Hall of Famers. Sorry, 3 Hall of Famers.
Diaz is trying to sell me on Kyle Lowry being a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
That's laughing stock material, in my opinion.
Doc Rivers has this chip on his shoulder like a Popovich, like a Bill Belichick. But they've won consistently. Doc Rivers can't even get to a conference final with those Clippers teams. He won one championship 14 years ago. He's been nothing but dealt great teams that are set up for success, and he digs his own grave because he doesn't know how to coach in the playoffs. He has these great regular season records because he gets bailed out by the players. But when there's a microscope on the coach in playoff time and crunch time, he flops because he doesn't know how to out-coach another team. I don't think he knows how to coach when it comes down to, you know, serious crunch time. Top 15 coach of all time, my ass. I think Doc Rivers is a bad coach that gets bailed out by already well put together teams. And I don't think he has the credibility to talk down to the media and the fans the way that he does, because last time I checked, he hasn't proven anything in the city except falling short and losing to the Atlanta Hawks last year. Really? After historically bad blown losses that were all on his shoulders, Ben Simmons, you could say all you want with that dunk, but they should have never been in that situation because of all the blown leads that they had and the terrible coaching in the first game of that series, putting Danny Green on Trae Young. Jesus, come on. No credibility to talk down to the people like that. I'm out.
So here's the thing. If we're worrying about his head coaching skills, I'm telling you right now, you're not going to like this matchup. Because Nick Nurse is one of the best in the business, and he does it year in and year out. I know he won the NBA title a few years ago with Kawhi and Kyle Lowry being there. But I'll tell you, man, like Nick Nurse has earned a lot of people's respect. This team didn't look like they were going to get out of the play-in tournament, and they wound up sneaking into this 5 seed. They're 1-3 3-1 against the Sixers this year. This is a dangerous matchup, and in particular, too, the Sixers are going to have to play maximum of 3 games in Toronto without Matisse Thybulle because he's not fully vaccinated. He has 1 shot, which is 1 more than Ben Simmons has taken this year. Hey-o!
Ew! Nice call about you.
Now, Canada determines someone fully vaccinated 2 weeks following a Johnson & Johnson shot. So it's not like he could go out and get the shot right now and be eligible to play in the games coming up. This is a scary matchup right here. This is some of the stuff that Diaz has on here as well. Sixers versus Toronto today at 6 p.m. So you're listening to us from 1 to 3 on Saturday. They take them on at 6 p.m. It says it feels like deja vu from 2019. Sixers were plus 90 in minutes Embiid played, minus 109 in 99 minutes that he didn't play. Outrageous, which, you know, I always love reading these notes from him. You know, dude, these recent playoff runs, Embiid has not played at MVP level Embiid. He played very well last year in the Atlanta series, and I'm not going to put that on him. I'm putting it more on Ben Simmons. I'm putting it more on Doc, you know, for blowing that series. But in those recent times before then, especially in 2019, they lost that series because of Embiid. His gastrointestinal issues, him trying to call out to you know, Brett Brown at 6 a.m. in the morning for an 8 p.m. game. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to play tonight. Like, just bad. Just bad. Like, they should have won that series. They should have won that series. And Diaz giving him a pass for losing in 2018 to the Celtics without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward and losing to Al Horford and Man Bun, you know, whatever that guy's name was.
Aaron Baines.
Yeah, and Terry, scary Terry Frazier. What a disgrace. They should have won that series. They lost that series in five. They couldn't even get it to seven. You know,
Embiid averaged Embiid, 30 a game that series.
Against the Celtics?
Yeah.
I don't think so. He was getting owned on by Man Bun.
That was 2019, 2020, right?
That was 2018.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, he was a rookie then, right?
Yeah. No, I think that was the second. No, it was his second year. That was Simmons' first year. He had one game where he had 1 point. You're thinking he was averaging 30 against Boston in 2020 in the bubble when they got swept.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, he played well in that series. It's just they were letting him get all of his.
That first Boston series was his first year in the playoffs.
Yeah, second playoff series. Yeah. Did they beat Brooklyn that year or was it Miami? I think it was Miami.
Yes, it was because of the team they had together was one of the ugliest teams I've ever seen with Tyler Johnson and Gordon Dragic.
What was it? Justice Winslow.
Yeah, they had an ugly team. You know, Udonis Haslam's been on that team for 35 years.
Dude, I love that Sixers team, man. They had Marco Bellinelli and they had Ilyasova. That was a good team, man. It was a lot of fun to watch. But
the bottom line is yes, Embiid has been questionable early on in his career in the playoffs. He's obviously going to have to carry his weight throughout these playoffs, but I really think the microscope is on James Harden here. He can't shoot 4 for 15 and, you know, well, he had 15 assists and, you know, he has some plays. No, that's not why you brought him here. You brought him here to be a closer and a primary scorer alongside Embiid. He's got to be averaging mid-20s every night in the playoffs if you want to beat even Toronto and get to the second round, because if he's going to put up 15 points each night, they're in deep trouble because their bench is horrendous. And, you know, you can't trust Tobias Harris to get it done. And Maxey will get his. But, again, with that bench, they're going to have to get the max potential from these max players.
So you're going to you got to think that Embiid's going to be playing somewhere between 38 and 40 minutes a night, right? I mean,
oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, he has to. Listen, say what you will about the backup center position, but gosh, they have to limit those minutes, and they have to. You know, he's got to play like the full first quarter, or play up until like 1 minute left. Take that full break between the first and second quarter, and then take like the first 3 or 4 minutes off of the second quarter, and then back on the court with 8 minutes to go and just onslaught. I mean,
yeah, they might rest him, you know, 2 minutes left in the third, into like 4 minutes into the fourth, but then he's playing those final 8 minutes of the game.
Are we coming up on a break here, Slash?
Yes.
All right. So prediction
for the Sixers playoffs.
Yes. For this series.
I'm going to be optimistic and say they win in six.
Sam, do you care to give a prediction here? Do you want to put yourself on the line?
No, I'm too afraid to.
I think the first game's going to tell you a lot. I know that might be cliche and obvious, but it really is, because it's going to tell you, as a 4.5-point favorite in a series that I think might be pretty even, it shows that the public's going on the Sixers to get that W at home to jumpstart the series. And if James Harden doesn't show up and he looks like the James Harden of the last 2 months, then we could be in for a wild ride the next couple of weeks.
Well, I'm hoping Diaz doesn't listen to this, because you know, I've been taunting him the last few days. Raptors in five.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Last year, didn't they all go like almost all seven games?
Washington. Oh, the playoffs in general. Yeah, it was a crazy conference finals and finals.
So I'm saying they're going to get butts in the seats, charge a lot of money, and it's all games are going to go to seven again.
Yeah, normally the first round of the NBA playoffs isn't like that. Once you get into the second round and you get into the conference finals and the finals, that's where it.
This year's a different animal.
Especially in the East. Yeah. The East, and especially for sure. But I'm not going to say, I'm going to say Sixers and seven. But don't let Diaz know I said that. I'm going to continue to rap with Raptors and five. Coming up in this next segment, we're going to talk some baseball. But Bucks County Baseball Company is the premier vintage sports clothing and collectibles retail store in the tri-state area. Visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. Items from the Phillies, Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, and much, much more. Again, visit www.buckscountybaseballco.com or stop by their Bristol, PA location. The showroom is huge. The website, even bigger. Bucks County Baseball Company, the name in Philly for vintage sports. Coming up in their second segment here in the second hour, I'm going to go off not just on the Phillies, but on the Phillies fan base as a whole. You guys are getting soft in your age, man. I'm telling you right now, right here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, we are Green Legion Radio. We'll be right back right after this. And welcome back to our second segment here in our second hour on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. This is Green Legion Radio. This is Chris Sack sitting alongside in the virtual world Kyle / the Gobbler Nuttermaker and Super Sam Brady, as we now, after talking NFL football and 76ers basketball, let's dive into some
another positive topic.
Yes, listen, you know, you guys were busting my chops yesterday, okay? And every year we do this with the Phillies, okay? Not particularly me, because you guys know I've pretty much been a negative Nancy on the Phillies since you guys have known me. They haven't given me much to be positive about or overly positive about. It's been a long 11 years that has worn on my soul.
I haven't seen Phillies baseball since high school. Phillies baseball, Phillies playoff baseball.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. You know, like, I blame my wife all the time because we started dating in April of 2012. So since we've been together, there's been no playoff baseball in our lives.
That's horrible.
And we met because of the Phillies.
Yeah. So it's your guys' fault.
I blame her. Yes. I blame her. Honestly, if the Eagles didn't win the Super Bowl 4 years ago, this marriage probably still wouldn't be going right.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, get those divorce papers ready, man. I need some Phillies playoff baseball.
I know. I'm right there with you. Listen, I get it's only today. We record on Thursday. It's game seven. So honestly, you guys, the Phillies could be 5-3. They could be 4-4. They could be 3-5 by the time our broadcast hits the airwaves on Saturday from 1-3. I get perturbed with certain things. So first of all, I'm going to start this off with my number one perturbedness, if that's even a word. Is that a word? Maybe no. It's on Urban Dictionary. It's not?
No.
Okay. But I'm right, mainly
perturbedness is on Urban Dictionary, but
I'm mainly perturbed with the fact that the other night a player on the team had three errors in the first few innings of a ball game. It was the reason why you're losing 4-0 to begin with. Gets caught on TV saying, "I effing hate this place." So then after the game and after he let off that inning, the five-run inning, with a walk, okay, which started the rally. Good on him. After the game, he owned up to what he did, what he said. Awesome. Great. A lot of people would lie about what they said. And I'm happy for him with that. The very next night, you're losing a game 2-0 to the hated rival New York Mets. He pinch hits in the game. And when he comes to the plate, he gets a standing ovation. Standing ovation from the crowd. Not only does that happen, okay, which annoys the crap out of me. And I'm not saying that he should have been booed or whatnot, but to give the guy a standing ovation for owning up to saying, I effing hate this place, annoys the crap out of me. But the very next day after we lose 2-0 in a spot and an opportunity to where you can win a series against a divisional opponent when you struggle against divisional opponents, they went 10-9 against the Mets in 2021. They went 9-10 against the Braves, 9-10 against the Marlins, and 13-6 against the Nationals. So for me, you have an opportunity at home to win a series against a divisional opponent when you know you're staring down the barrel of a gun with Max Scherzer pitching on Wednesday afternoon against soft mental head Aaron Nola. And I'm only saying that right now because I can't say that on Baseball Brunch in front of Murph. He'll kill me if I do say that. You have an opportunity to win that game. And the very next day, instead of talking about how you blew that game, the offense didn't show up and you lost the game 2-0 to the hated rival New York Mets with Max Scherzer pitching against you that afternoon, I have to hear on sports talk radio the next day about the beautiful moment that was Philadelphia sports fans proving that we aren't exactly all heathens by raising up and giving a man a standing ovation that said, I effing hate this place. What the hell has happened to our fan base as a whole? What has happened to Philadelphia sports fans? We have gone soft.
That would not have happened at an Eagles game.
No. Not even close. Like, over the years, we've had superstars sitting here. Tobias Harris told us to shut the F up. We had Joel Embiid telling us to shut the F up. This guy saying, I effing hate this place. And we just... It's a beautiful moment in time.
Not to mention, Alec Boehm is not Joel Embiid. Like, no. Alec Boehm has no credit to be like, yo, like, listen, we know you had a little bit of a downfall. You were frustrated, but, you know, we're here to support you. Like, no, he still stinks defensively. Like, it wasn't just like a bad moment for him. If he was going to say that line every time he committed an error, you know, we'd be giving him standing ovations every other game. If he owned up to it.
I feel like people are, and Sam, I'll get to you in a second here. I feel like people are, you know, like our fan base is sitting here trying to overdo it because, like, all the national media talks
about,
right, all the national media talks about is all the bad things that we do. Well, let's pick this guy up and prop him up and dust him off because not only are you losing this game to the Mets, you're getting smacked around on Wednesday afternoon. Gene Segura gets hit by a pitch. Alec Boehm comes out to run the bases for him. And what do the fans do again? Let's give him another standing ovation. Yeah. We're losing this game, but let's give this guy a standing ovation. We're losing. We're going to lose the series early in the season against a hated division rival.
See, and I didn't even know they did it twice.
They did it again. They did
That's
it
a joke.
Again. Are we going to give this guy standing ovations the rest of the year because he said, I effing hate this place, and he fessed up to it? Come on. Yeah. What a disgrace. Sam, what do you got?
I'm sorry. I'm dumbfounded because at this point, I mean, I could see things being thrown at him. I could see, you know, him being booed out of the stadium. What I don't understand is, forget that he said it. Why are we cheering for him?
It shouldn't even be like a big deal. Like, cool, you owned up to it, man. Like,
yeah,
get back out there, get in the box the next day. We don't have to prolong the situation that didn't need to be like a huge spotlight deal. It's just like, cool, your emotions got the best of you. That's great. We don't have to have 30,000 stand up and be like, you know, let's go. You know, pick you up when you're down. That's what we're here for. Like Diaz or Woo! I almost called you Diaz.
Oh my God.
Like Zach said, you know, we're overcompensating.
I've never been so insulted in my whole life.
I think the fan base was trying too hard after, you know, getting a couple bad reps for, you know, for things that they did during that Mets series. So
maybe whatever. They're being
stay
sarcastic.
True to yourself, Philly fans. We know who we are, and we know that we love each other.
No, they were not being sarcastic, and I'll be the first to admit. Okay, you know, with my jobs over the years, and not so much now. I love my job now, but at certain points during the course of working at my job, I know I've said, I hate this effing place.
Oh, I worked in retail, so I said it every damn day.
I worked at McDonald's for 10 years.
My manager never applauded me when I came to the break room.
I say it every Thursday.
Yeah, I know. our baseball brunch last year where our equipment overheated, you know, live while we're on the air. I know for a fact I said it at that point.
But you're
a professional Major League Baseball player. And you're you were a first round pick, third overall, and you can't defend your position. And you want to have the nerve to sit there and say, I effing hate this place. Like, I'm sorry, dude.
Philadelphia
like,
didn't make you commit three errors.
Right. And no. if you hated this place so damn much, well, guess what? There's a quick ride right up the Northeast Extension to Lehigh Valley. Why don't we just send you packing up there and you can go up there, hang out, work on your defensive skills or not, if you're comfortable with being a mediocre baseball player, or do you want to be great? That's the part that ticks me off. And then another part that ticks me off is the fact that the Phillies won the first two games of the season. And on Saturday, they interviewed Rhys Hoskins after the game. Oh, winning's fun, right? When it's fun. I feel like every year, 2019, they swept the Braves opening weekend. Oh, winning's fun. Oh, it's contagious. We really like being around each other. And then last year, they swept the Braves opening series. Oh, winning's fun. We really like each other. You know what that got you? It got you a whole lot of 500 baseball. That's what it got you in both of those seasons. I'm sick and tired of hearing about winning is fun. I don't want to see you guys laughing, joking around. Stop swinging for the damn fences every single time. For the love of God, I love Kyle Schwarber. I love what he did in his first at-bat as a Philly. But my man has struck out a ton of times here early in the season. Bryce is the same way. I think the best thing for this team right now is to get away from home, get on the road, and rediscover yourselves. Because it's a lot, you know, what they saw Schwarber doing is lead off at bat to start off the season was everybody thought that was going to be contagious. Oh, every single time a guy comes up, he's going to hit a home run. We're going to smash the baseball. We're going to bash the baseball, which they're going to do a lot of this year. But for the love of God, put the ball in play. Move runners over, play some small ball, and then when the mistakes start to really start happening, that's when you start to clobber the baseball, when the weather starts to warm up. Right now, yeah, the weather is beautiful outside, but it's not hitting season quite yet. You have to play a particular brand of baseball until that ball actually gets up in the air and jet streams its way out of the ballpark. That's what they have to learn. This team is veteran-laden. These guys have been playing Major League Baseball for a long time. And they have the understanding of this. They're all in the prime of their careers right now. But the only guy that really understood that yesterday, which was Wednesday, we're recording on Thursday, was Bryson Stott, who had two hits against Max Scherzer, one of the greatest pitchers of all time. You know, like, he's taking it simple and taking what the pitcher's giving to him. The rest of the lineup has to do the same. As I see Mama Nunnemaker right here. I don't even need the really bingo sack. I don't know a whole lot about baseball, but Kyle's dad always yelling about what you're saying. See, that's a smart woman. And then I have over here unhappy Adam Gilmore. Sack, I agree with you. Is that a million or a billion percent?
I think it's 100,000.
Everyone swings for the fence. It's how they're coached and what they're told to do. It's all walk, whip, or homer. Yes, it's not just yourself.
Small ball or anything. And real quick, Sam, before I get to you, they're going to have a lot of time here to figure it out because they don't have off till next Thursday. So they better figure out that home runs aren't the only thing that can win you games. Go ahead, Sam.
Okay, well, here's my dumb question now because
they're never dumb questions, Sam.
They're all dumb questions. But is this when spring training would have been a factor where
what
they could have?
Question. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
No, it could be a factor. This is something right here that I'm going to put out there. And I know Adam doesn't agree with this at all. But this actually harkens away from the Phillies a little bit. And it's another thing I want to get in here. How much time do we have, Slash?
3 minutes.
3 minutes. So I'm going to get this in real fast. So the Clayton Kershaw situation, okay? Like, I understand why people are upset, All right. Cause this isn't the baseball that I grew up with and all that good stuff. I understand. Was I disappointed yesterday that Clayton Kershaw was not going to have the opportunity to finish what he started, to finish a perfect game? I get it. But what Dave Roberts did yesterday was right for the Dodgers franchise, not just right for the fans that were in the stands or what was right for maybe leaving Kershaw in. He saved Kershaw from himself. Point blank, plain and simple. Because the last year, Kershaw had a great year, but he was injured towards the back end of the season. And he's trying to save his bullets. He was injured last year. He didn't start throwing again until January. Short spring training, 3 weeks. His first start of the season. There's nothing wrong with it. I have no problem with what Dave Roberts did. What he did was he sent a message to his clubhouse. Personal goals, personal records are not what we're striving for this year, because he already put his neck on the line in the Dan Patrick show saying that they were going to win the World Series this year. He guaranteed it before the season started. He knows that his meal ticket this season is to make sure that he keeps Clayton Kershaw as healthy as possible to go along Urias and Walker Buehler, and if Trevor Bauer, whatever happens with that disaster and disgrace, they pushed him off another week on the administrative list. But I'll tell you, it is what it is. He took him out of the ball game. They wound up giving up a hit. It is what it is. I've got no problem with Roberts doing what was in the best interest for the Dodgers and for Kershaw as a whole. Remember, Johan Santana struggled years with injuries, and he wound up throwing a no-hitter, the only one in Mets history. He threw a no-hitter. He was never the same after that. And you know, that right there is a perfect example. Hall of Fame pitchers could go awry. Save those bullets for when they matter most. Save them from when they matter most down the stretch, September, October baseball.
But my thing
that's what Roberts did.
Why can't these guys, like, they're that fragile, they can't pitch more than 80 pitches?
Kershaw has proven over the last few years that he is that fragile.
These guys just get hurt all the time.
Yeah,
and they're out for like several months because of like a bruised elbow. It's like 80 pitches. You can't throw 80 pitches.
What's the one season that Kershaw has finished over the last like four? The pandemic season. So, and they know Dave Roberts, you can't.
I know he's trying to conserve him because he gets injured a lot, but all these guys get injured a lot. It's like, what is going on?
Are they
feeding these guys?
I get that. I look at it from this context too. Okay. With Clayton Kershaw and with the Dodgers. And you guys know back during the pandemic year, I said that all championships were earned. And they don't, to me, they weren't looked at with a certain stigma attached to them. You know, Diaz always wanted to put an asterisk next to him. You know, under the circumstances, they won how they won. But the Dodgers know they won their only World Series since 1988. They won their only World Series in a 60-game shortened season, and they did it in a bubble atmosphere. Dave Roberts knows that in order to try and put further clarity on winning that title from 2020, they have to win one the full way, you know, start to finish.
Is he non-pandemic scared? He's managing scared because he made that guarantee.
Well, listen, he put his neck on the line, but he did say that if my starting rotation stays healthy, we're going to win the World Series. I've got no problem with him putting his neck on the line about that. That right there, he already showed what he said to Dan Patrick. My starting rotation has to stay healthy. Hopefully Walker Buehler too. I've got $50 on him winning National League Cy Young.
Well, he'd be pitching 40 pitches a game.
That'll hit for $500. So let's go with it. But hey, our last live read for the show today, the Green Legion. Make sure you prepare yourself for another round of great football destinations this season with Chicago, Arizona, Indy, and Houston all on the schedule. NFL plans to release dates on May 10th. So be prepared soon after that for packages to be released. If you want to ensure a spot on a trip, we're accepting $150 fully refundable early bird deposits, and we'll do so through April. If you are interested in attending any of our road trips this season, call the office at 215-666-5940. That's 215-666-5940, or go to greenlegion.com. Coming up on the other side in our last segment here on this beautiful Saturday afternoon, we are going to smack somebody, something, someone, a bunch of people, who knows? But we're going to do it Will Smith style on Chris Rock right here on Green Legion Radio, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. And we're back here for our final segment on Saturday afternoon, 1-3 here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, off-season edition of Green Legion Radio with Chris Sack, Kyle / The Gobbler, Nunnemaker, and Super Sam Brady, which Sam might want to smack me like Will Smith did to Chris Rock because I called her Super Sam Brady. So there you go, Sam. There's an example right there for you. If you are with us in our YouTube chat room or on Facebook, like Mama Nunnemaker, who's the only one on Facebook that
get
is
to YouTube.
Yes, watching us or following for following and watching us on our Twitter handle at Green Legion. Make sure you jump on board. We want to know who you want to smack Will Smith's foul on Chris Rock. So we're going to have a little bit of fun here, this last segment here on this Saturday afternoon, 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler, Green Legion Radio. So I'm going to start out with Slash because I think Sam needs a little bit more time because obviously the only person that she can thank to slap is Tom Brady. I don't know what Tom did over the last week to want to slap, but what we'll do is we'll start off with Slash, and then we'll get to a couple of ours on the board, and then we'll hit Sam, and then we'll hit myself towards the end of the segment. So, Slash, who do you got? Who do you want to smack Will Smith Chris Rock style?
I want to smack, not for hatred reasons, but for a wake-up call, James Harden. Smack him right in the face and say, listen, start taking control. Take the bull by the horns with this team. Embiid is going to play out of his mind 38 to 40 minutes a game, put up at least 30 a game. We need you to be that number two guy and that closer. We know you haven't had a great playoff resume. Now's the time. This is the last chance you're going to have to win a championship. Smack him right in the face and tell him to wake the hell up because I don't know what his offensive game has been the last 2 months.
And you might bring some of the beard back along with you for sure.
Yes.
Some of the ones that we have right now on the board, Adam Gilmore wants to smack La Bitch, the Queen James, which I can only imagine. Listen, I think it's awesome the fact that not only did they miss the playoffs, the top six seeds, they missed the play-in tournament.
Yes.
It got to a point for me where I was actually following to make sure that the Pelicans and the Spurs were going to jump over them for the simple fact that they are not in the playoffs. This is a beautiful thing. I also want to smack the crap out of him because, you know, the head coach that you had when you won the NBA title, you pretty much crapped on him on the way out the door along with Russell Westbrook. I want to smack him too. Russell Westbrook trying to say, I don't know why me and Frank didn't get along. I know why, because you suck. You were terrible all season long. What a prima donna. And
I smack Russell Westbrook every hour of every day.
I've been a fan of Russell Westbrook. I always thought he got a bad rap, but this year in LA, man, like you're home, that's your home team, and that's how you want to act. So I wasn't a big fan of that at all. Bryant Walden, should I read this? I don't want to put him on thin ice with his or hot ice, or as they say in what was that, Rookie of the Year. My boss, my coworkers, Diaz voice. I don't know. Right. Does he want to smack
that resignation there?
Does he want to smack the Diaz voice, or is he saying it in a Diaz voice? Mama Nunnemaker, thanks for joining us on YouTube now. Russ Taylor says that Sam threatened to slap him.
That's true.
Was that at the Bud Light baseball brunch opening day tailgate?
Yes.
Okay. What were you threatening to smack him over?
Listen, it's not important. Let's just say we settled it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Sam, also here, Russ Taylor, people to smack the NFL owners and their hiring practices. I think that goes without saying for sure. Let's see. My coworker, Brian Walden, my coworker that came to work nodding off dope. Okay. Adam Gilmore is a Yankees fan. He wants to smack Joey Gallo. Russ Taylor, people smack all the Kardashians. Okay, that's cool. I think that's everybody, anytime, anywhere. Adam Gilmore, been calling them the Golden Girls all year. Who's been calling the Golden Girls?
I don't know.
The Yankees are the Golden Girls? Okay.
I don't pay attention to the Yankees.
Bryant Walden wants to smack Diaz's shiny forehead. Mama Nunnemaker wants to slap Roger Goodell. So do you understand the concept here? You don't have to smack Tom Brady here, Super Sam Brady. So who do you want to smack?
Well, actually, it's funny you bring it up. I'd like to slap the people who put who don't put the dollar sign in front of prices correctly. That bothers me.
Oh, they put it after?
Yes, it's the worst. And I don't understand why we didn't learn this in like third grade.
No, we did. They just they just don't remember.
So that's one. I'd like to slap people that interrupt me when I'm trying to make a point. No offense, God. No, I'm kidding. That's it. That's all I got. I mean,
I was about to say, was that a shot at us because we didn't?
It was, but I was just messing with you. Okay. My anger is for Tom Brady. You know why I want to. You want to know why I want to slap him? Because he had the audacity to put a store in the city of Philadelphia. Like anyone's going to go in there and buy his crap.
This That's is old why news.
I want to slap him. This store has been there several times. I'm a frequent shopper.
Remind me to hit you next time I see you.
Apparently, the Golden Girls are the Lakers, according to Adam. So we're going to go with, wants to smack the Golden Girls, the Los Angeles Lakers this year. Guys, I'm going to go with mine. Yeah. I'm going to get mine off my chest right now. And I would love to smack the hell out of the city of Philadelphia. Why are we going backwards? And I know Quimby has a whole big thing that he put on his social media and across the Green Legion platforms. And I understand it, you know, with what he's saying, the numbers, this, that, and the other. To me, we're going backwards. Why? Why? There's no point in going back to the mask mandate for indoor activity in the city of Philadelphia. My office is in the city of Philadelphia limits. I already told my office administrator, we're not putting the signs back up, you know, at the front door or around the office. I'm not partaking in this anymore. And I guarantee you, nobody else in the city of Philadelphia is going to partake in this. They had the city of Philadelphia indoor mask mandate for a big chunk of 76er and Flyers, you know, Flyer season. And if anybody went to a game, you had to wear a mask into the arena to get through security. But once you got in through there, nobody said a damn thing to you about not wearing a mask. Not one bit. And this is during Omicron. Okay. So like, I don't want to hear anything anymore about this mask mandate. It's already bad enough that they extended the mask mandate on public transportation, which is, you know, the airlines were supposed to have it done on the 18th of April, but they expanded it by 2 more weeks. It is a joke. We've had to live with these masks in our lives for the last couple years. It is time to let it go. It's time. So, you know, and on top of that, what they're doing in the city of Philadelphia with the mask mandate, it's the only major city in the country that is going back to the indoor mask mandate for no obvious reason at all. The city is ran by complete and absolute jackasses. Mayor Kinney, you're focusing all your attention on the wrong things. The mask mandate in the city, the indoor mask mandate, becoming the only city in the country to do that, and the violence in the city is a complete disgrace. You guys voted back in that clown Krasner, and which has become an absolute disaster with what's going on in the city right now. Nothing is safe. No one is safe. Homicides are up. We're focusing our attention in the wrong areas as a city of Philadelphia. It's a beautiful city. We'd love to call it home. No one says, hey, you know, I'm from X place. I'm from Y place. I'm from Z place. No, you grow up in South Jersey. You say you're from Philadelphia. And that's where we tie ourselves to. And so I'm annoyed with the people that run the city of Philadelphia. Big, huge Will Smith smack to you, Chris Rock, Philadelphia, for sure.
That was mine, but you said it way better.
Thank you.
Because I probably would have started cursing.
Well, you know, but you would have been the one that had to cut that out.
Yes. Less work for myself. Yeah, so well, I let the sack master take the lead.
How much time we got, Slash?
We can wrap it up.
All right. So thank you all for tuning in this Saturday afternoon, 1 to 3. And for those of you that joined us during our recording on Thursday evening from 5 to 7, thank you guys for tuning in and checking us out. Please make sure to rate, review, subscribe, download the show on the iHeartRadio mobile app, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. And as well, make sure not only are you looking for Green Legion Radio on the iHeartRadio app, make sure if you're looking for Bud Light Baseball Brunch, you put in Baseball Brunch so you can listen to all of our shows, upcoming and former shows as well. For Chris Sackmaster, Kyle Slash the Gobbler Nunnemaker, and Super Sam Brady, we are Green Legion Radio, and like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard, we are out of here. Everybody enjoy the rest of your Saturday afternoon.